Good morning, and welcome to New Hope's second online video service. I trust that you've been doing as well as you can be in the midst of some of these challenging seasons here. I know in this past week, I had the opportunity to stop by the church and to see just an awesome group of individuals who are joyfully serving our community together by providing lunches and breakfasts. You know, I've been hearing bits and pieces of different ways that each of you are taking advantage of this opportunity to serve the community, to pick up supplies and to deliver them to those who are homebound, and just ways that you're just encouraging one another. We're blessed to have this technology, that each of us have a smartphone that we can kind of keep in touch with each other in the midst of our isolation, and just different ways that y'all are stepping up and serving. It's just an encouragement to me. I'm truly blessed. As you can see, I'm broadcasting from a new location today. This past week, since we're all stuck at home, the kids with their schooling and myself, you know, at the bank, I'm still working full time, but isolated to my home to do so in. And, you know, unfortunately, Becky, she is still at work full time, in full swing of things, but she does have to physically go into Harmer every day still, and taking lots of safety precautions, you know, using a mask, getting her temperature taken, washing her hands every hour, and, you know, just a lot of inconveniences in light of that. But we are still blessed to have an income coming in, to be still working. And in the light of that this week, we actually moved to my old homestead, to my dad's property. And so you can imagine all the craziness that went on with that as we pack up all of the stuff that we've accumulated in the past, I believe it's 12 years, 12 or 13 years that we lived at New Mine. And moved it out to this property. But we took advantage of the, you know, for us being home, especially with the kids, to be able to make that happen. So we're broadcasting from that location here today. And so we're going to be continuing on here, continuing through our new message series, where we learn about all of the things that Jesus took on himself so that we can be free of them. You know, we're learning from the prophecy that Isaiah gave in chapter 53. And throughout this message, we're learning from a list of burdens that Jesus took on in order that we might be free from those things. And this morning, I'm going to read those few verses here, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, from the New Century Version of the Bible. And it says here, "But Jesus himself took on our suffering. He took those on himself. He felt our pain for us. We saw his suffering, and we thought that God was punishing him. But he was wounded for the wrong that we did. He was crushed for the evil that we did. The punishment which made us well was given to him. We are healed because of his wounds. We all have wandered away like sheep. Each of us has gone our own way, but the Lord has put on him the punishment for all the evil that we have done." Now, so far, we've been actually encouraged to know that through the cross of Jesus, through the cross that Jesus took on, he took on our physical burdens of sickness and disease. We learned last week that through the cross, Jesus has also took on our mental and emotional burdens of our pain and suffering. And today, we're learning from a simple verse that has an incredible impact on our lives. Just a few simple words, and yet the impact that they have made is just profound and incredible. It makes me kind of consider, have you ever spent the day with somebody, an entire day, and you talked for hours and hours and hours, and then somebody asked, so what all happened? What'd you talk about? And you find yourself summarizing it in just a few words, what you spent hours talking about that whole day. Maybe you've read a huge book that covers a really complex subject, and at the end of that book, somebody asks you, you know, well, what was it about? And you're able to summarize it in just a few sentences, and you really can't think of anything that you're really leaving out. You know, some people that you'll encounter in life, and perhaps this is even you, you are a blessing, but you have a gift and the ability to just go on and on and on and to complicate something that is really fairly simple. You know, perhaps you know that person or that's you, that you're able to weave this huge tapestry out of a very simple point. You know, thread by thread, you pull them all together to paint a fairly simplistic picture. You know, and perhaps those people that you've encountered, you've come to find that if you don't pay very close attention to each and every point that they're making, you may miss the big point. For example, maybe they went to their physician and the point that they're making is a diagnosis that the doctor gave. But if you're not paying very close attention, you walk away from the story and the point that you heard was about that annoying guy that they met in the waiting area. Some people also have a gift for going on and on and on and sometimes making no point apparently whatsoever. Then you have people on the complete opposite side of the spectrum. They are quiet, very simple people, and people of very simple words. And yet, you know I've encountered people myself that their words are few, but perhaps like me, you've encountered those people and they give this few simple words, just a simple phrase. And you find yourself for days just kind of chewing on those words that they gave and thinking about them. You know, perhaps you've developed your whole life philosophy around that simple phrase that that individual had given. Likewise, we find this being the case here in the prophecy of Isaiah. Very few words, but very profound impact. And we find that here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. And this time I'm going to read it from the New International Version of the Bible. And it says that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And now, depending on what translation of the Bible that you read the simple verse from, Isaiah 53, 5, you'll find a variety of ways in which this is translated. However, their meaning all remains the same. Now, we already spoke a few weeks ago about the last phrase that we found here in this verse, that by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. Now, we're going to take time this morning to look at the first three phrases. Isaiah prophesied here that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions, that he was crushed for our iniquities, that he was punished for our peace. Now, none of us like to really discuss or think about sin. In fact, we don't even like to call it that. Most of us like to call it weaknesses, you know, or mistakes. We use terms that are less harsh and phrases and terms that kind of take the responsibility of sin off of ourselves. However, sugarcoating these things really doesn't take the weight of them off of our back by any means. We still feel the weight of our sin, of our iniquities, of our wickedness, of all these things, these terms that the Bible uses to mention them. Calling them anything different doesn't take that weight off of us, unfortunately. Sin, rebellion, wickedness, transgressions, they are what they are no matter what we choose to call them otherwise. Whether intentional or even unintentional, acted in ignorance, sin is sin. Now God is good. He's loving. He's compassionate. He's merciful. But he still has to deal with the seriousness and the weightiness of our sin. God set the standard, and we come up short. God made a law, and we broke it. God said, all of this is yours, but just not this one tree. And yet we went and took that all anyways. Rebellion and wickedness. Each and every one of us are guilty of it. Each and every one of us are sinful. In fact, the Bible teaches the truth that we were born that way. We were born into sin. And in reality, we see this biblical truth play out. We see the evidence of that biblical truth that we were born into sin when you take a look at, say, our nursery or toddler room. Nobody has to teach a toddler how to kick and hit and scream and steal and lie, right? You see that happening right before your eyes. Instead, rather, we have to teach and to train our children from a very young age to be selfless and not selfish, to tell the truth, to be honest, to treat people the way we want to be treated. We have to teach them all of these things. They weren't born that way. They were born into sin. We have to teach them what is right. In fact, the very first man and woman, Adam and Eve, you've heard of them many times. You find them in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, you know, the fall of mankind. From the very beginning, we were sinful. We weren't created that way, but we were created with the ability to choose. God gave us that choice so that we would choose to love Him. We would choose to honor Him. We would choose to do what He says. But He gave us that choice, and unfortunately, from the very beginning, we chose wrong. We chose to listen to the voice of the enemy instead of God's own voice. Adam and Eve chose to eat the one forbidden fruit from one of the two trees they were told not to eat from, and yet they chose to do it anyways. They were given the abundance of the garden and were able to eat from any of it, and yet they chose to do what was wrong over what was right. They chose a curse over a blessing. They chose death over life. They sinned, and we all choose to follow in their folly. We also choose to sin. We choose our own ways and our own opinions over God's. We choose to listen to the lie of the enemy being whispered in our ears instead of listening to the truth that God speaks about us. Isaiah said it very nicely. I will say that the word of God that Isaiah chose to sugarcoat it when he said it, he said that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. However, Isaiah didn't sugarcoat the consequences of that sin when he was prophesying about Jesus. He said that Jesus was like a lamb being led to its slaughter. It said that he poured out his life unto death. Now, we all love sharing good news, and right now the world needs a lot of it. There's a lot of bad news going on right now. In fact, just a few minutes ago, I was live streaming Fox News and listening to Governor Cuomo of New York as he's talking about how things are just progressively getting worse there, how he needs more emergency hospitals to treat those that have fallen ill. And things aren't looking like they're on the improvement anytime soon. Our kids, you know, they may or may not be going to school here within the school year. And we just listen as day by day we hear more and more bad news from around the world. And so we need some good news. And that's what the gospel is. Gospel literally just means good news. And the world needs it. They need hope. They need encouragement. They need to hear some good things that are happening. But there's an interesting thing about good news. Let's say, for example, that a guy comes and he knocks on my door, he shows up, and he has this good news to share about me. He comes up and he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "You know what? You're gonna be set free from that prison that you're in." And then he walks away and says, "Have a great day." I don't know the guy. I'm here in my home. I'm not in prison. I mean, that good news really isn't good news to me whatsoever. In fact, it really wouldn't affect my day aside from being a little concerned about that guy's mental health that just decided to stop by. Might even lock my doors, you know, and warn the kids to just hang out inside for a little bit here. But now let's say, for example, that a state police officer shows up at my door, knocks, and as soon as I open the door, he turns me around, reads me my rights, and puts me in cuffs. Takes me up through the yard, throws me in the back of his cruiser, and throws me in prison. A few days later, I'm brought before a judge, and I find out that I'm guilty of breaking a law that I didn't know anything about. I didn't know I'd been breaking that law, and yet I broke it. Unfortunately, the consequence of that breaking that law is a lifetime in prison. Now, let's say that that happens, and after a few weeks go by, as I'm sitting in my prison cell, that same guy shows up. The prison cell's open, he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he gives me that same news, that I'm being released from my prison today. Now, my response would be quite different, wouldn't it? Good news is only good news when it's shared in contrast with our darkened reality. Being healthy and being able to cook up some pancakes at home, it isn't good news until you realize that every one of your surrounding neighbors is on their deathbed in the hospital right now, that they've been affected by the coronavirus, and you realize that you've been spared of it, that you're in good health. You know, that good news is just your everyday life until you realize, in contrast, the reality that you are blessed. Then all of a sudden, being able to be at home and cook some pancakes for breakfast, it's incredible news. I mean, you're leaping for joy because you're able to do that. You're thanking God and praising Him for the good health that you otherwise would take for granted. Good news sometimes needs the contrast of our dark reality before we can really appreciate it and accept it as that, as being good news. What is our reality? Well, let's just call it what it is, right? We all deserve hell. And that's exactly where all of us were heading at one point in our lives. In fact, some listening right now are heading that way now. But like me, who had been breaking that law, had no idea. You had no idea that was the path you were on. You had no idea that you were doing something wrong. I mean, you live a pretty good moral life. You know, you really don't think you're on a path to hell. You know, you think of some murderer out there, you know, who is just making one wrong decision after the other, you know, robbing a bank and killing this person and just being on a crime spree. Yeah, that person, you might consider they're all headed on the road to hell, but you really don't think of yourself as that way. You just don't think about it. But that's the reality of where we were all headed at one point in our lives, because the penalty of sin is death, spiritual and physical and even lifestyle-wise. Our sin has consequences, and the penalty for anyone who sins, which all of us are guilty of, is death. We're all dead in our sin. Now, we weren't always aware of it, however. At some point, somebody made us aware that we were distancing ourselves from God, that we were choosing to live our lives our own way, and essentially we were breaking God's law and falling short of His standards by doing that. We thought we were doing good, but what we consider to be good and what God considers to be good can be two radically different things. At some point, someone made us aware of our condition, made us aware of our reality, of our destination, and made us aware that our current lives and our eternal destiny could be radically better, that our lives here and now could be drastically impacted by some good news. And beyond that, that when we're either raptured home or when we die, that our eternal destination can be set by a simple choice that we make here and now. We all deserve death, but Jesus took that penalty. He took that punishment on Himself. Jesus paid the penalty of our sin on our behalf. And we go back to this verse here, and trust me, we're gonna get to some good news. But before we can get to the good news, we need to understand the darkness and the depth of our reality. Isaiah prophesied here in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. Most of us, if we stop and think now, we're not even aware that we're committing any transgressions. It says that He was crushed for our iniquities. Most of us might think of antiquities and think, yeah, we love chopping for them. What's an iniquity? What does that even mean? Not aware that we're guilty of them. And lastly, that He was punished for our peace. Now, in today's world, a lot of us are aware of the peace that is lacking, that our trust and our hopes were placed in things of this world that are quickly stolen away in just a moment's time, and our peace went along with them. We don't have a lasting peace. We don't have a lasting hope, or we're not sure of what to trust in, you know, here and now. So we're going to take a look at these three phrases, and then we're going to end with the good news. First of all, it says that Jesus was pierced. We know from the gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we learn about how Jesus was literally pierced, how He fulfilled this prophetic word given centuries beforehand. We remember, although we don't like to think of it, but it is a good thing for us to remember the price and the penalty of our sin. We know that a crown of thorns was placed on Jesus' head that was forced down over the crown of His head that crown of thorns was used as a mockery, that he was a king of the Jews. We remember how he was placed on the cross, that his hands and his wrists and his legs were being held to the cross by the piercing of those nails or spikes, that those were driven and hammered through his body and through that cross, causing his blood to be spilled out, to pour out. He was pierced for our transgressions. Transgressions is the Hebrew word here, pishana. And it means the actual penalty of our sin. That's literally what it means, the penalty of that sin. The penalty of our rebellion against God, whether it was intentional or just done in ignorance, the penalty for breaking that law remains the same, our sin. He was pierced for our transgressions, for our sin. He paid the penalty for them. Jesus was also crushed. We read in the gospel accounts about how he was arrested. He was beaten. A bag was put over his head and he was punched. He was spit on. We learned about how his life and his ministry were crushed as he stood accused and condemned at the hand of false witnesses, people who were paid to give false testimony about Jesus. That this was done at a trial that was illegal. It was done in the middle of the night. That all these things took place that caused his life and his ministry to be crushed. All the good things he had done to be stained and tainted. But beyond that, we know that he was physically beaten with rods. That he was scourged with whips that tore his flesh literally off of his body. We know that Jesus was crushed. But he was crushed for our iniquities. Now, iniquities is the Hebrew word avon. And that means the guilt that comes with that penalty that we talked of in the last point of wrongdoing. That iniquities is our guilt for wrongdoing. Now, if you speak of anyone who's been imprisoned, especially on a long term, you know, the pharmacy I used to work for, I had flown around the nation, was in a lot of prisons and talked to a lot of inmates, and you'll find as you talk to people who've been in prison for any duration of time, that worse than the physical cell is actually the guilt that you're weighed down with, that mental cell that you put yourself in. In fact, people that serve their sentence, they pay the penalty of their crimes and they're released from prison, that long after that physical prison is pardoned, that guilt of their wrongdoing lasts far beyond that. In fact, most of us have experienced this. You wrong somebody and they forgive you. You know, they don't hold it against you by any means, but yet you still feel the weight of that guilt. You're ashamed of yourself that you could do such a thing to somebody. In fact, a lot of times, even after Jesus has forgiven us of our sin, we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And because of that unforgiveness of self, we carry away around the weight of guilt. Our iniquities, that guilt of our sin, can be heavy. But Jesus paid the price. He was crushed for your iniquities. Now lastly, this third phrase that we read in Isaiah 53 verse 5 says that Jesus was punished, that he hung on the cross, that he was there between a thief and two other criminals, that he took on the cross in that way, that he was punished, that he gave up his life, and that he lay dead in the grave for 3 days. Now, punished, it comes from the Hebrew word mushar, and that means discipline or correction. That's what that punishment was that Jesus took on for our peace. Now, this word, it's actually a good concept. It's the word that comes from discipline. It's that same word used in the scenario where us as parents, we discipline our children. We intentionally put consequences in place when our children do wrong so that they learn from those experiences. We intentionally put consequences in place to veer them away from doing bad and to do what is good. It's discipline. It's the same way that God disciplines those he loves. It's actually a good thing. But Jesus actually took on himself our punishment so that we can be free of it. Jesus literally took on himself even the discipline that accompanies the consequences of our sin. He was punished for our peace. And so Jesus took on himself our sin totally and completely in ways that we maybe never even considered before. It is as if though we had never sinned. Jesus takes away even the good consequences of sin. He took upon himself our sin totally and completely. Jesus was, as Isaiah 53 teaches us, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and he was punished for our peace. And that's the good news. Jesus took all the bad stuff on himself that we deserve, that our sins purchased. And instead, Jesus freely gives us every good thing. He gives us forgiveness in the place of guilt. He gives us mercy in place of our punishment. He gives us grace in place of our weaknesses and helplessness. We did everything wrong, and yet we can be at peace as if though we never did a thing wrong. What we could never do on our own, Jesus did on our behalf. Because no good deeds that we do could ever wipe out the guilt and shame and condemnation and penalty of wrongdoing. You know that full well. A person could live for 50 years and not do a single thing wrong. But because they commit one crime, because they murder somebody, then they're heading off to prison. Doesn't matter how many good things it did. Doesn't matter if they were a paramedic and saved hundreds of lives. Because they took just one, they're guilty. And in the same way, the Bible teaches that that if we sin, if we break the law of God, and all of us have, that if we break one, we're guilty of them all. Because the penalty of all sin is the same, regardless of what sin it is. There's no degrees of severity of sin. Because we're guilty of one, we suffer the consequence and the penalty of any sin and all sin, whether done intentionally or unintentionally, it's death. Jesus took on our death so that we might live, so that we might have life and life abundant, life of freedom. We no longer have to be weighed down of all of our sins. We are forgiven truly, completely, and totally. And beyond that, he gives us all the benefits. Jesus lived the perfect sinless life. Then he took on the death that we deserve. Then he was risen again from the grave. And what he chose to do is not to hold our sins against us, but to freely give us the life that we could live if we had never sinned. He took on all the punishment. He did all the hard work. On the cross, he said, "It is finished." And then he freely gives us the abundant blessings of life that we would only earn as if though we'd never sinned. Because before God, he looks on Jesus. And because of our faith in what he did, our faith alone in what Jesus did, we're saved. God sees us as if though we had never sinned. It's amazing. And the benefits are unbelievable. And so this morning, Jesus is calling you. He's calling you to freely receive all the benefits that we're going to go over here in just a moment. He's calling you. He's reaching out to you, asking you to cast all your sin, all your guilt, all your shame, all your condemnation, to cast all your iniquities, the punishment, all those things on him, because he loves you and he cares about you. He paid a high price to be able to offer that to you freely. That all we have to do is put our faith in him, to put our lives in his hands, to trust him and nothing of this world. And he freely gives us all these benefits. Jesus is offering you right now an exchange. He is asking you to exchange your sins for all these benefits. Paul reminds us of them in Romans chapter 8. And we're not going to read through it all for time's sake. But I encourage you to read through that over and over again until those benefits of your salvation kind of seep into your spirit, into your soul, until those become your reality. Not because of the good life you lived, only because Jesus took on your sin. Only because of your faith in the work of Jesus, you receive all these benefits freely. We start right in verse 1, that there's no condemnation for you. That there's no condemnation. Nobody can ever bring up your past sin and hold it against you in the courtroom of heaven, that you have no condemnation. And there is an enemy that Revelation teaches us that stands before God, the throne of God, the judgment seat of Christ, day and night accusing you of your sin. But we have Jesus at the right hand of the Father who defends you and who intercedes on your behalf. He is your defender in light of the accuser because he took on your sin and shame and condemnation on himself. So there's no condemnation for us. It says that the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. That you are given a deposit of the Holy Spirit just because you put your faith in Christ and are forgiven of all your sin. That same empowering Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave lives in you. So think about what that same Holy Spirit can do in your life to bring resurrection power into every area of your life. Those things that your foolish decisions of the past, those things that your sin has caused grief in your life, what Jesus can do to turn those things around into a blessing instead of a curse, to bring life into death. It goes on to say that we're no longer slaves, but we've been adopted into the family of God. You are a child of God. You are dearly loved. He will protect you. He will encourage you. Yes, he'll discipline you, but only for your good and benefit, to build you up so that you can be all that he created you to be. That's one of the benefits of putting your faith in his salvation, of asking him to forgive you of all your sin, of putting your sin and shame and condemnation on Jesus. That you receive that, you are adopted into his family. And because of that, in the following verse, you are now heirs of the kingdom of God. You are a co-heir with Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The kingdom of heaven is yours. It's yours for the taking. It says that even when we don't know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Even if you don't know how to pray right now, you don't know the words to speak, you just let the Holy Spirit intercede on your behalf. You just pray in the Spirit, and you pray the perfect prayer interceding to God on your behalf and on the behalf of others as well. It goes on to say that God will work all things for good. He will work all things together for good if you love him. So all those bad things that have happened in the past, all your past sin, all those things that have just weighed you down, that he can work those things together for good. No, they weren't good, but he'll work them together for good. He'll turn them into something good. What an awesome promise that he is freely offering us to do. It says that God is for us and that no one and nothing can stand against us. Sure, many things may try to rise up against you, but nothing can stand against you because God is right there with you and for you. He is fighting for you on your behalf. And so you have the victory as a result. Just hang in there and just trust in God that he has your back. He has your best interests in mind. He's forgiven you of all of your sin and shame. Finally, it says that God has also justified us and that he's interceding on our behalf. And I spoke of that earlier, that Jesus is interceding for you. He is there defending you day and night before the accuser. And he has justified you. Know what you did wasn't right. It was wrong, and he says it's wrong. But he has forgiven you. He has pardoned you from the penalty of it. And so you are justified before him. It says that we are more than conquerors through Christ who set us free. You are more than a conqueror. Not only have you been forgiven and pardoned of all that past sin, you've been empowered to never make that choice again. By the grace of God, you've been empowered to choose a better life for yourself. You've been set free from the law and from your flesh. You can live life by the Spirit. An empowered life that overcomes every obstacle that comes your way. You can now rise up against those things that have weighed you down for so long, those addictions that have bound you up and tripped you up. You now have the power to shake those things off and to walk free from them. You have all those things because Jesus took on your sin totally and completely. And then finally, I love how the chapter ends. We are reminded that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing that can separate us. And so this morning, I want to encourage you can cast off all your past sins, all of the guilt of them, even the punishment of them. You can cast them all off. Jesus took on your sin so that you can be set free from them, free of the penalty, free of the guilt. free from the discipline. Jesus was pierced for your transgressions and mine. Jesus was crushed for your iniquities and mine. Jesus was punished so that we might be at peace. Your sins, as the Bible says, have been cast. The moment you put your faith in Jesus and you ask Him to forgive you of those things, your sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. They are cast at the bottom of the ocean floor. They are gone. They are as if though you now are in a state of righteousness, as if though you'd never sinned before God. Be at peace, because there is now no condemnation that can stand against you in Christ Jesus. You stay firmly rooted in Him. You make Him your foundation, and no condemnation can come at you. Nothing can stand against you. Jesus is interceding for you. Think about that. Jesus is for you and not against you. He's rooting for you. He's believing in you. He has high hopes for you. He has paid the price. He has given up everything so that you can reach your full potential. Jesus gave up His life short. He gave up His ministry short. He went and took on the cross silently, taking on the pain and punishment and shame and condemnation. He was pierced so that you can reach your full potential in Him, so that He can freely offer you all the riches of heaven, so that there is nothing that can stand against you. He wants you to be successful, and He has done everything that He can to ensure your success in life. And so perhaps this is your very first day of this journey with Christ. I just want to take time to pray together with you. Or perhaps like me and like probably all of us watching this here today, in some area of your life, you've really grown numb to the grace of God. You've forgotten the high price that Jesus paid, that He was pierced, He was crushed, He was punished. And perhaps we quickly run into sin, quickly go our own way. I will encourage you this morning to get back on the path that Christ has called you to get back in that race that He has called you to. Now is the time to turn to Jesus. He paid a high, high price. But He paid that high price so that we can be the recipients of some good news. Yet He is freely offering you everything you need to be successful in life. He is freely offering you everything that you need to become the person He created you to be, to reach your full potential in Him. And so let's just take time just to pray now, whether it's your first time or your millionth time praying. Just pray with me. Let's at this time turn to Jesus with sincerity and honesty. He already knows everything about you. There's nothing you can share with Him that's going to surprise Him. So right now, let's just turn to Him. And so Jesus, we thank You so much for taking on the cross. For taking on the cross that through it, You took on all of my sin, totally and completely. Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin right now. Forgive me for being like that stubborn sheep that just goes my own way, living life by my own opinion and doing what I think is right. Right now, Jesus, I turn to You for the first time or just turning to You once again. Jesus, I turn to You and I give You all of my life. Jesus, take all that I am. Take me just as I am, all of my guilt and shame and condemnation, all the mistakes that I have made, Jesus, all the sins, all my rebellion and wickedness. Jesus, take it all. And create in me, Lord, a pure heart. Help me, Jesus, to be who You called me to be. Help me to be who You created me to be. Help me to reach my full potential in You. Jesus, I don't want to miss out on anything in this life. Thank You for paying the price. Thank You for being pierced, for being crushed, for being punished when I deserved that. And I praise You and I worship You for freely giving me all the benefits that You deserve. Thank You for Your grace and mercy pouring over my life right here and right now. Help me never to take it for granted and to freely offer it to everyone else as well. In Your name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I hope that you've been blessed, and I just want to encourage you again, although you may be living in isolation for a short period, New Hope is still here with you and for you. If there's anything at all that we can do to encourage you in your walk with Christ, if there's anything that you need, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We want to encourage you and equip you in your walk with Christ, because we are just, it's addictive. It is exciting for us to see each person realize who they are in Christ, reaching their full potential. And we don't want anyone to miss out on it, because it is so good, so, so good. So remember, Jesus took all these things on himself so you can walk in freedom. So enjoy that freedom, give him some praise for it. And while you're at it, invite somebody to come along with you and enjoy their freedom as well. Thank you, God bless, and we'll see you next week.